Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode. I cannot wait for this one. We've got to discuss the Twitter files. Do you remember getting in trouble when you were a child? All of a sudden you get quiet because you know that you've been caught, or you start talking quickly and rapidly about something else to try to change the subject. Whatever you do, you know that justice is coming and it makes you nervous. Well, we're starting to see that all around. People are in denial. People are starting to get a little chatty about some other things. And when we see this type of deflection, we know people are guilty. We have our own human experiences to model for this. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Bold Americans, we need to talk about the Twitter files. That's right, this past weekend, Elon Musk gave the thousands of documents to one of the most respected names in journalism. And it was a genius move, and I'm going to talk about Matt Taibbi and who he is, in case you are not aware already of who was breaking this news. Matt Taibbi was a Rolling Stone journalist. He is a New York Times best-selling author, published many different books. One of his books that he published was called The Insane Clown President, which was about Donald Trump and his 2016 presidential run, and talking about the musings and the horrifying parts of things that he would talk about during that election cycle. He also wrote a book about the Great Derangement, a terrifying true story of war, politics, and religion at the twilight of the American Empire. And that is another great book that breaks down what was going on in Congress, as well as what was happening in George Bush's presidency after September 11th, talking about the Iraq War and going through all of that. That came out in about 2009. So this is not somebody that the left could say, you know what, this is a far right leaning journalist that Elon Musk is doing. This guy is in the books for Donald Trump. This guy is only going to tell one side of the story. That's not true whatsoever. In fact, he's one of the most respected names, despite the fact that he's so well respected. Before we even get into the Twitter files, do you remember the story about Sinclair Media that came out a few years ago, that all the pundits, anchor people all over the world that were a part of Sinclair Media, they were all saying the exact same phrases? Well, when this comes out, all of the liberal journalists, literally liberal journalists, because I could not find conservative journalists when I started checking to see which way they leaned, the liberal journalist immediately smeared Matt Taibbi for being a part of these Twitter files and agreeing to release them the way that he did. And they all used the exact same phrase, right? Doing the PR work for the world's richest man on a Friday night. Doing PR work for the world's richest man. This phrase appears over and over again, almost like a bot sent out to every liberal journalist. You need to write, he's doing PR work for the richest person in the world. It's lunacy that the same thing we saw with Sinclair Media, with some of the people talking about the elections and the conservative movement, that the liberals that are in charge at MSNBC, liberals that are at many of the liberal-leaning newspapers, all attacked Matt Taibbi for simply providing factual truth, simply providing these documents. So today we're going to look at the first release of the Twitter files. We're also going to discuss the questions that I have as a result, what was left out of the Twitter files, and why I believe that's the case. I want to get into, if possible, first, before we get into anything, is the psychology of denial of the people that are saying this is a big nothing burger, that this is something that's just about Hunter Biden having inappropriate photos, and that's the reason why there was censorship. These people are really have their head up their rear end, or they have so much confirmation bias from their own political personalities that they've developed, that they refuse to look at the facts that are in front of them. These people are the same thing that they accuse other people to be when they talk about MAGA and Donald Trump. The hypocrisy is horrifying, horrifying that the people that are saying, you know, you have to have an open mind, why can't you see it, are the very people that can't see it. And as we're seeing in the Twitter files, they're really aligned with a side here that is probably more corrupt than the other side when it comes to the Democrat leadership and what they were doing, as we can see in the Twitter files. So let's get right to it today. We're going to talk about this thread and take it line by line and some of the thoughts that I had as it was going on. By the way, as this was happening, I was part of history. I was on with Kim.com, and Kim and several other people were all talking about each one of these threads as they came out, about 1 minute until it kind of slowed down at one point. And we were kind of processing, and many of my thoughts at first were kind of reactionary. I've had more time now over the weekend to think about them more. So I'm going to read to you the Twitter files. I'm going to read this much more quickly than what you would have experienced on the night that it came out at 6:34 p.m. December 2nd. So he starts off, one thread, the Twitter files. This is genius to use Twitter in this fashion, because never before has a story come out that I can imagine where it was just laid out with everybody watching like it's a television show, like it's must-see TV. Elon had come on, said it was going to release at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Around 5:40, he said, I need about 40 minutes. We need to check with legal for some things before we publish them. And then at 6:34 p.m., on Elon Musk's page, he retweets Matt Taibbi, who starts the thread. We all thought that Elon Musk was going to be the person that was presenting this information. He did not. And so it's genius, not just because, as I told you, who Matt Taibbi is. This also insulates Elon Musk as the owner of Twitter and the owner of SpaceX, as well as Tesla, to make sure that it's independent journalism, that it's not just somebody who at his company that's releasing documentation. So this is great. Number two comes out about a minute later. Two, what you're about to read is the first installment in a series based upon thousands of internal documents obtained by sources at Twitter. Three, the Twitter files tell an incredible story from inside one of the world's largest and most influential social media platforms. It is a Frankensteinian tale of human-built mechanism grown out the control of its designer. This is where things start to get interesting, because we can see that the design of Twitter was intended in one way, and what he's getting at is it was taken over. Four, Twitter in its conception was a brilliant tool for enabling instant mass communication, making a true real-time global conversation possible for the first time. Five, in an early conception, Twitter more than lived up to its mission statement, giving people the power to create and share ideas and information instantly without barriers. Now, we had waited about 5 minutes at this point to get these five statements, and people were going, oh, come on, just get to it, Matt. You know, if we're reading the newspaper, we would already have the information in front of us. We could read the entire story, and we could realize we were slow drawing this out. And it kind of got a little annoying, to be honest, but not complaining. We finally got our information. Six. Here's where it started getting interesting. As time progressed, however, the company was slowly forced to add those barriers. Some of the first tools for controlling speech were designed to combat the likes of spam and financial fraudsters. Excellent, right? Who likes having spam? I get spam every once in a while on my Twitter page. I always report it right away. People saying, link to this person over here, or people saying, if you get crypto, whatever, I don't know. But there's plenty of fraudsters, so we understand why they were created. Seven, slowly, over time, Twitter staff and executives began to find more and more uses for these tools. Outsiders began petitioning the company to manipulate speech as well. First a little, then more often, then constantly. Now, this never gets expanded on outside of the Hunter Biden laptop. We don't know what evidence out of these thousands of pages of documents that he refers to, what outsiders are the ones manipulating free speech, first a little, then a little more often, and then constantly. And so this is the first, number eight is the first one where we're going, holy crap, this is big. Number eight states, by 2020, requests from connected actors to delete tweets were routine. One executive would write to another, more to review from the Biden team. The reply would come back, handled. Now, when I was on with Kim.com and others, there were, if you don't know who Kim.com is, by the way, very, very intelligent, tech-oriented individual that can really research things that need to get researched rather quickly. They immediately went to work as soon as this came out while I was on the call with them in the spaces. And they started talking about who each of these individuals were if they were able to get their information. And what they discovered was these five accounts that the Biden team wanted reviewed were in China. And they were showing pictures of Hunter Biden naked, sometimes with cocaine, sometimes with what looked to be women, possible more than one woman, possible underage woman. And so the reply comes back and they censored the response at Twitter, but it just says, handle these. This is why this is a problem. So first, people would go and say, all right, this doesn't protect your free speech to remove images of somebody who's naked when you don't own those images. Okay, that's fine. Well and good. I'm with you on that. Completely with you. I would even say that the terms of agreement on Twitter should have something in place to remove those type of images automatically, even though we know that that does not happen because I believe it was Tommy Lee from Motley Crue did a naked photo this year. And I don't know if it's still up. I'm not going to look, but I believe it's still up. No one's ever taken it down. He's the one that posted it, though. So I get why. But here's the problem with that request. That request comes after the time where Joe Biden had come out and stated
50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plan. They have said that this is has all the characteristics. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
This is classic Trump. We have 4 days left, and all of a sudden, there's a laptop. There's overwhelming evidence that, from the intelligence community, that the Russians are engaged.
I still think that the stories from the fall about your son, Hunter, were Russian disinformation as a smear campaign, what you said.
Yes, yes, yes. I know you'd ask it. I have no response. It's another smear campaign.
It's the last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. The vast majority of the intelligence people have come out and said, there's no basis at all.
And indeed, there were plenty of people from the intelligence community that came out and said that there was no basis whatsoever. But the problem is with that story is, and this is what's missing from Matt Taibbi's account. The problem is everybody knew that it was verified at this point in time in the government, because I have an interview with John Paul MacIsaac that gives a completely different timeline than the timeline that's being described here. The timeline that I'm hearing goes all the way back to the summer, and I have an interview with John Paul MacIsaac where he talks about Mark Zuckerberg was testifying, and let's just get to write what he said.
That the FBI approached in late summer Google, Facebook, and Twitter to warn them of a massive dump of documents pertaining that could affect the election of a foreign influence. All right. If I overnighted the drive on August 28th, and the following week the FBI warned Facebook, Google, and Twitter to be on the lookout, who was being spied on? Who has the FISA court for that?
So what we hear right now is the fact that, yes, Biden knew that this was a real laptop. Absolutely, he knew it was a real laptop. He willfully lied in October during the debates to the American public. He used former national intelligence officials all to further this narrative, like James Clapper. James Clapper is the former director of national intelligence. And he got up in front of Aaron Burnett and he reiterated this story for Joe Biden. And he furthered the narrative that this was not a real news story. Here it is.
Story of this laptop, we don't know a lot. We do know that the way that this information is getting out is through Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani. How much does the source matter here?
Well, the source matters a lot, and the timing matters a lot, I think. And to me, this is just classic textbook Soviet-Russian tradecraft at work. The Russians have analyzed the target. They understand that the president and his enablers crave dirt on Vice President Biden, whether it's real or contrived, it doesn't matter.
So let me get this right. The Biden administration, the team, because it wasn't the administration at the time, the Biden team talks to 50 former national security intelligence people, right? Like James Clapper. You don't think James Clapper doesn't ask Biden the question, well, is it real? And you don't think Biden tells him, yeah, it is, but I need you to run this? This is the implication here. And for all the people that go, I'm spreading a conspiracy theory, you're damn right that I am. The problem here is this. This shows that the intelligence community was running cover for presidential candidate Joe Biden. Many of them. I have plenty more audio I can play for you. So going to Matt Taibbi's, this was to review by the Biden team and talking about how this was manipulating speech. Matt Taibbi states it was not limited to just this, these pictures that everybody wants to go, oh, this is a big nothing burger. This was about pictures. No, this is about the election interference of our current sitting president and the lying to the American public, and the intelligence community lying to the American public. If the intelligence community is lying to the American public, if the president's lying to you, what else are they lying to you about outside of Hunter Biden? There can be no trust. There can be no trust whatsoever in any of the political system. He continues on, and it's going to get more interesting as we go. But the first question I have to ask to the people that are writing me going, this is a big nothing burger. Oh, I don't really see what the problem is with this. This is not a big deal. If this was Trump, and this was one of his kids, and Trump willfully continued the lie about it, and trust me, his kids were under investigation the entire time he was president, and people would talk about Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, and about their contracts all the time. At least theirs were out in the open. We don't have Hunter's out in the open, or the 50 countries that Biden is doing business in with his family, which is now being investigated. That's not all out there, right? So can you humble yourself for just a brief second and say, oh my God, maybe I'm wrong about these people that I follow. Maybe. Just maybe I've been so focused on one political candidate, Donald Trump, that I've been ignoring how corrupt my own party is, the Democrat Party, because we're going to see the DNC is directly involved in this censorship as I continue through the Twitter files. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be covering this every day this week, right? So I don't have to get through the whole thing this episode. But I'm going to be covering it every day this week. I'm going to continue to dig in, get more information. But I got to get to a break real fast. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutloud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
All right, welcome back, Bold Americans. We got to get right back into the Twitter files. As I was talking right before the break, I pointed out how Biden, we have evidence now of him lying during the presidential debates, during the interviews that he did in media, all the way up to just hours before the election. We have audio of multiple national security intelligence individuals that have worked for the government who were also running this cover for the Biden administration. Now we're getting to number 9. And this is where things start to get absolutely illegal and where people should be thrown in jail for treason, high crimes. We'll get into why I believe that as this continues on, but we're going to start there. So number 9, he says celebrities and unknowns alike could be removed or reviewed at the behest of a political party. And he has, I grabbed the first one under SI, defer to safety on the high profile second one. An additional report from the DNC has Stephen Lujan and real James Woods, the actor. Okay, I have defended in the past Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey when he owned Twitter. I defended their right to remove whatever they wanted to remove because they were a private organization with their own terms. And as a result, they could set their own terms. It was, you know, if you wanted to have your free speech, then you create your own platform and have people come to it. I used to be the guy who said that. That was part of my libertarian views. But that was outside of the purview of understanding that the government themselves, the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, an organization dealing in $1 billion from their people, was removing content and profiles and getting Twitter to do their bidding for them. This is where we have a violation of First Amendment rights. Your government, this is one of the most explosive things that was revealed by Matt Taibbi in the first part here of the Twitter files. Your government has no right whatsoever to get in the right of you and your free speech on a private platform. If you're at a town square, your free speech is protected. It is protected, and that is what makes our country a wonderful place to live. If the Democrat National Committee under the Biden team is handling these accounts, I'm using that word handled on purpose. If they're handling these accounts, what else are they handling? Now, here's where it gets even more interesting, because this is what I've been saying for a while. Number 10, both parties had access to these tools. For instance, in 2020, requests from both the Trump White House and the Biden campaign were received and honored. So now the Trump White House is also guilty of possibly taking away people's First Amendment rights. Now, I don't have the evidence there because he didn't publish something there. But for all the individuals that want to sit there and go, oh, you know, impeach Biden, you know, Trump is the rightful president, bring him back immediately. Pause. Pay attention to what Matt Taibbi's saying here. He's saying that Trump's administration, his White House, and the Biden campaign were both removing free speech from American citizens. It's never right. Anyone that was doing this should be in jail. Anyone who ran election interference as a result of this should be charged with treason against the country, especially when they're working in office if they took an oath to defend the Constitution. Now, we can get to what Trump said, too, about the Constitution, hopefully by tomorrow's show. I don't think I have time to get all of this in by today. But right now, our entire political system is corrupt. What Michael Bednarik had shared with me on that fateful day back in July when we spoke about the Constitution, Oh my God. You know, I know that, you know, he wasn't well and he had come to peace with death, but this would have sent him to his grave if he were still alive. His blood pressure would have went through the roof. So God took mercy on his soul by having him go when he went. Because if he read this and what happened with Matt Taibbi and what's going on with the Constitution, oh my, I'm sure he's rolling over in his grave right now. This is disgusting. What is going on in our politics? Let's get the number 11, because for all the people that are going, well, see, I'm putting my finger back at Trump. It's Trump. Okay, calm yourself. Calm yourself. Your zipper's down. You better pull it up. Because number 11 says that this system wasn't balanced. It was based on contacts, and because Twitter was and is overwhelmingly staffed by people of only one political orientation, there were more channels, more ways to complain open to the left, well, Democrats, he puts in parentheses, than the right. And then he publishes a link to Open Secrets with Twitter, where it talks about the contributions by party of the recipient, which shows that Republicans were not represented nearly, not nearly as much as Democrats. 99.73% of the staff at Twitter that were giving money to a party were Democrats. Only 0.27, less than 1% to Republicans. So who do you think was doing more of the manipulation? Trump in the White House or the Biden administration and the DNC? Now, if I need to explain that to you, like you're a kindergartner, and take out a book and show it to you, you may be too stupid to understand. So I'm not going to go any further into that one. Number 12, the resulting slant in content moderation decisions is visible in the documents you're about to read. However, it's also the assessment of multiple current and former high-level executives. So not only is the slant something that they could see in the documents, but when they spoke with the high-level executives, they said, yeah, we were working with the Democrats. We were working to silence the voice of conservatives on Twitter because Democrats and administrations were contacting us and telling us this is what they wanted to do, and we took care of it. And then he goes, okay, there was more throat clearing about that process, but screw it, let's jump forward. And he moves from 12 to 16. So we don't know what 13, 14, or 15 they had pre-written was written out to be. So we get the 16, the Twitter files, part one. Okay, so now we're into the introduction, into like the basis. Now we're in part one of we don't know how many parts. How and why Twitter blocked the Hunter Biden laptop story. Number 17, he says on October 14, 2020, the New York Post published Biden's secret emails, an expose based on the contents of Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop. And then he links that story to the tweet. In that story, it appeared by Emma Jo Morris and Gabrielle Phone Rush. And I don't know if I'm saying her name exactly right, but I apologize. And this shows that Hunter Biden introduced his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, not presidential candidate Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden, to a top executive at a Ukrainian energy firm less than a year before the elder Biden pressured government officials in Ukraine to fire the prosecutor who was investigating the company that his son was receiving money for. You want to talk about quid pro quo? Remember when Trump got impeached for it? Well, Democrats, do we have a double standard here? Because this was called Russian disinformation. But now we know that this is true, that he literally said, well, let me roll the clip for you. Let's hear it.
I remember going over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours. I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
Somebody who was solid for the Biden family. Now, this sounds like the phone calls that they're making to Twitter, right? Saying, oh, we need that off right now. That information's not solid. Or when he's on the tarmac and he says, no one F's with a Biden, right? Talking to the guy down in Florida. And so we have these emails. The emails state from Pershakov, however you say his name. He says it much better than I do. Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving me an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time working together. It's really an honor and pleasure. As we spoke yesterday evening, would be great to meet today for a quick coffee. What do you think? I could come to your office somewhere around noon or so before or on my way to the airport. V. Now, we have the evidence from the laptop because this was dropped off back in Delaware in April of 2019. The John Paul Mac Isaac, you can listen to my show way back in July where I spoke with him about all of this. And in the Twitter files, we're now seeing that the Biden secret emails that were called Russian disinformation, fake emails, they're all true. And yet, had this been known, I promise you, Joe Biden would not have been elected. Had this information been able to get out there, this would not have allowed him to be elected. There is no way, promise you, no way that if people knew that quid pro quo, and you put that up in front of Trump and said, hey, didn't we just impeach this guy for the exact same damn thing? That's right, we did. Oh, well, okay, well, I guess that kind of, that takes Biden out of the equation, doesn't it? And that's not all that's on that laptop. I'm not going to tell you everything that's on the laptop. You can search it out and find it yourself, should you want to. Most people are willfully ignorant towards the laptop. Most people will just say, oh, well, it's a bunch of nudity. It's a bunch of him doing coke, a bunch of things like that. They don't want to pay attention and connect the dots. They don't want to do that because their own confirmation bias would be rocked. Their own foundation about their own political party would be shaken to the core. It'd be an earthquake with a tsunami that they would have to face about their own ideological beliefs. So number 18, moving on. Twitter took extraordinary steps to suppress the story, removing links and posting warnings that it may be unsafe. They even blocked its transmission via direct messages, a tool that was reserved for extreme cases like child pornography. Now, Matt Taibbi's, he posts this, but here's the truth. There's been images of children on Twitter before where they've provided government IDs to get them taken down, and Twitter would not take down those images in the past. So we have a direct conflict that Twitter would just take those down based upon verifications from the average person. It took government officials at the DNC and the campaign in order to happen. And then when this all goes down, number 19, White House spokeswoman Kayla McEnany was locked out of her account for tweeting about the story, prompting a furious letter from the Trump campaign staffer, Mike Kahn, who seemed at least pretend to care for the next 20 days. I'm going to read you that email. He sends this to C. Strum, Lauren DeVol, and then Twitter Government and Politics, which was this back channel the government had that they could communicate directly with Twitter. And the email states, Kayla has been locked out from her account for simply talking about the New York Post story. All she did was cite the story in firsthand reporting that has been reported by other outlets and not disputed by the Biden campaign. I didn't answer immediately on when how she will be unlocked. I also don't appreciate how nobody on this team called me regarding the news that you'll be censoring news articles. Like I said, at least pretend to care for the next 20 days. The press secretary for the United States that's supposed to give the information out to the public, who reports a story that she knows is true because John Paul Mac Isaac had sent that in back in August, as we know. She knows by October 14th that all of this is true. Rudy Giuliani has verified all of the information. They've made sure that they're ducks in the row, just as the intelligence community knows that they're going to lie about it. Which, by the way, they didn't really lie about it. If you notice, it's always President Biden always referred to as former intelligence officials. He never said current intelligence officials. You know, the truth, the devil is in the details, right? So the press secretary lost her platform to talk to America. All right, Karine Jean-Pierre. If Twitter had done that to Karine Jean-Pierre for posting something about Trump or one of his kids, the left would have melted down and called immediately for everybody to boycott Twitter, to get off Twitter, that it was corrupt, it was censoring free speech, and this is one of the most respected offices in the entire nation. But when Trump's person does it, oh, it's completely okay. We're going to look the other way, and we're just going to ignore it. And so for those saying that this is a big nothing burger, this is the First Amendment, which is your guaranteed right of the Constitution, that is being stripped away from people by the government. We should have names of everybody who worked at Twitter and everybody at the DNC on the Biden team who was involved in this, and they should all face trial. There should be congressional hearings about this, and there should be justice for everybody else. Now, there are plenty more statements that I need to cover, but I don't have enough time for today's show. So you're going to have to come back for tomorrow, where I talk about the public policy executive, Caroline Strom, who sent out a query. This was number 20, that said several employees noted there was tension between the communications and policy teams, who had little or less control over moderation, and the safety and trust teams, meaning there was only a few people that were doing the dirty work, and they were doing it behind everybody else's back, and it was leading to problems and escalations. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the largest story, and I'm going to tell you why it's the largest story in the absolute world. Because if this is happening at Twitter, it's happening at Facebook, it's happening at Google, it's happening all over the planet, and it's influencing elections. And Elon Musk has even come out to say he believes that he can show election interference in Brazil. You got to remember, Twitter is an international company. It's all over the world with millions of users. It's one of the most powerful think tanks that's around. So tomorrow we'll come back with number 21 and continue on, and maybe we'll have even more Twitter files. Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully I gave you some things to think about as we're going through these files. I'm going to try to be as exhaustive as I can throughout the week, take us through everything, find some interviews with some individuals, find some more sound bites. My goal is, if you're on the fence and you disagree with me, I'm okay with you disagreeing with me. My goal is for you to open up your mind this week about whether or not this is a big nothing burger from the parts of the argument that I'm trying to give you, such as the First Amendment. And my question to you is it ever right for the government to censor an American's free speech in a backdoor channel without the individual understanding why they are being censored? Is it ever okay, as part of that First Amendment, the freedom of the press? Remember, that's part of the First Amendment. This is not just free speech. This is freedom of the press. New York Post Press, all the others that were part of the press. My show right now is part of a press. Is it ever right for the government just to have something removed and say, hey, can you take down that podcast? We don't want that out there anymore. Or Google, can you throttle that and make sure that it doesn't come up in the search terms? Which, by the way, the network that I'm on has been throttled by Facebook and Google. So don't have any delusions that the America Out Loud Network isn't part of this whole thing. This is the big part of this entire story that I'm going to start covering throughout the week. Disinformation. What is disinformation? Well, there's been a lot of people fighting over COVID and pandemic response and articles. You should all be shaking to your core right now about what the truth is and why people were censored. Because I have a feeling, from what I'm hearing from other journalists, this story is not going to stop at Hunter Biden. It's going to continue on to the rest of disinformation. Anyway, I hope I honored your time. I'm running a little bit long today. I got to run, but I appreciate you guys all being here. I'll be back tomorrow to talk about more. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.